Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's talk about what is going on up in the stars, the planets in the heavens, in the cosmos, whatever it is that we want to talk about today in terms of the astrology, human design, or the gene keys. And actually, we have quite a bit to talk about this morning. And some of it is going to be pretty deep. And then I want to transition over and do like I did yesterday morning with an astrology chart. But today I want to do that with an eye to introduction to the parts of your human design chart. So I have a chart up already for someone. And if we have time, and you want me to take a look at your human design chart, I would be happy to maybe do that for a couple of people. You have to remember that my human design program dumped most of you out of it a couple of months back. And unless you've requested a new chart from me, I may not have it. So I may need to ask you for your birth details. So we'll take a look and see about that. All right, so let's see, who do we have out there this morning? Good morning, Debbie Hedden. You can refer to mine if you'd like. That would be good. Debbie, I'm going to write yours down because you are a reflector. And I think it's kind of fun for people to see the different charts from people. Mimi's always up for volunteering. Good, good. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Vanita. Good morning, Suzanne Fulmer. It's good to see you out there, girl. Colleen, good morning to you. Great to see you. And Michelle Gay and Patricia. And Debbie Tibbetts, my phone finder. Laugh out loud. Oh, yes. Debbie and I are getting ready to go on our trip, and she's in the midst of packing and lost her phone. So she panic-stricken texted me and said, please call me so I can find my phone. And, you know, I would laugh at her, except that's happened to me before, Debbie. So I'm not laughing because, you know, I've had to call my, I actually have on my Kindle, is it on my Kindle or on my iPad, something that says find my phone so I can find my phone and not have to panic so much. You know, I was more worried that you'd packed it and the battery died. You wouldn't be able to find it that way. So anyway, it's kind of funny technology, right? And, you know, my phone is pretty big. I mean, because, you know, I like a big screen. So, you know, wearing it around your neck or, you know, on your wrist or something is kind of out of the question, because mine also has this box, the OtterBox on it, so that if I drop it, which I've done many times, it doesn't break. It's protected. So funny thing, right? Even though I have insurance on the phone, I didn't want it to bust on me either, because I have so much in there. My life is in my phone. Amazing how that transition happened, because, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. And I think there's probably as much on my phone now as there is on my computer, which is even more funny. All right. So let's see how everybody's doing. It looks like everybody's having a good day so far. Vicki Smith, good morning. You are welcome to use my HD chart. I might put you down because we didn't look at yours yesterday. And Vanita says I can use hers. Good morning, Asa. Great to see you. And John, good morning to you from, I don't know if you're in Bulgaria or if you are in London, but welcome to the show this morning, this evening or afternoon, your time, I'm guessing. And I may just pull yours up because I think I did see yours in there. And I have found my phone, Debbie says, but will not tell you where. At the address it is, Debbie Hedden. I don't see my message telling you. You are welcome to use mine. If you see it, excuse me, you can use mine too. Great. So lots of volunteers. So thank you very much for volunteering. And I'll pull up some charts and we'll take a look at human design. You know, yesterday I took a walk with my friend Londa. And while we were walking, I thought, oh, there's something I meant to show you about your astrology charts yesterday. But I'll be doggone if I can remember what it is now. So if I suddenly say, oh, I remember, then it is because suddenly I remembered something I meant to tell you about your astrology charts yesterday that I didn't. So anyway, Good morning, Kristen. It's good to see you out there. It's good to see everybody. I just love it when everybody checks in and says hi. So let's talk a little bit about what is happening today. The moon, as you know from yesterday, as it slipped into Pisces yesterday morning, just before we went on air, it is still in Pisces today. So we still have that air or emotional connection to one another, a spiritual connection, an intuitive connection. In fact, I'm wondering if everybody's spidey senses aren't kind of just tingling with information that's been coming in through maybe dreams or through chance conversations with people, or just, walking and something comes in, intuitive sort of information just flooding in. Connections that you're making, from something that you've heard or seen or felt before to something that's happening now that's taking it deeper. And that is the power of the moon in Pisces. And not only is the moon in Pisces, but we also have Neptune in Pisces and we have Mercury in Pisces. And the three of them are forming a nice little trio conjunction today that should help us really understand more about ourselves and also allow us to tap into the more compassion energies, the loving energies, and the energy of intuition. And I think in this kind of case today, all you have to do is ask and you shall receive, right? Ask and you shall receive, whether that is a thing that you need or if that is an insight that you need, an aha or a revelation. I think all you need do is ask and then you can receive. So that is part of it today. The moon in Pisces also is idealistic, but doesn't always come, stepping down onto the realism side very easily. And so we have to take pains today, take steps today to make sure that if we're in a decision-making mode about something, that we really have our feet firmly planted on the ground because we're kind of aloft right now. And if you have to make a big decision and you've been putting it off, maybe put it off another day or so. Let's see, tomorrow evening, 7:57 West Coast time. So that would be 10:57 East Coast time. So if you're on the West Coast, maybe evening tomorrow, it'd be good to make a decision. But mostly, let's wait until Thursday when the moon is in Aries and you have impetus and you have action with you. And then we can see what it would be like to get things done rather than to have to pussyfoot around, tiptoeing to try to get things done that we want to get done. Now, I want to show you something. I didn't highlight this, so bear with me for one moment while I highlight this for you. Because I noticed something extraordinary in this chart today. And I think I alluded to it yesterday when we were looking at people's charts. But I want you to take a look at, I can't even see how centered I am here. There we go. Take a look at how many planets there are in that one quadrant of this chart. Now, this is the chart for the day today. So it's not anybody's personal chart, but take a look at that. Literally, there are nine planets or points: Venus, the Moon, Neptune, Mercury, Chiron, the part of Fortune, Sun, Eris, and Uranus, all within about less than 60 degrees of one another. So it puts an intensity in your chart, in your life, in the area where all of those planets are congregated. So yesterday, having taken a look at your charts, you have to now look to where Pisces, Aries, and just the first degree of Taurus is in your personal chart. And you will see whatever houses that those signs are in is where there's this focus, where intuitive information is coming through, where it's being revealed to you what action steps to take next. And then with Uranus and Taurus, it speaks to the revolution, maybe the change, the dynamic that must move in order for you to be able to do that. So I'm gonna pick on a friend here for a minute. Michelle, you're always so willing to share, and thank you for that. And this morning she sent me something via text. And I'm not going to give you well, I am going to give you some details of it. So, Michelle, I hope you don't mind. If you mind, this is the time. Tell me, no, don't share. Otherwise, I'm going to share because I think it really tells the tale about what is happening here. So, I'm going to wait for one second. Camille says dreams. Yes. Good morning, Camille. Linda, good morning to you. She said, it's me again. Yay. Signed papers on sale yesterday for the house. Mixed emotions. I hope that means that you're getting money from that, Linda, because you deserve that. And I hope that that is the excitement that you're feeling. So nothing coming up from Michelle. No, she says, laugh out loud, go for it. Okay, so here's the deal. A few months ago, maybe it was even just a few weeks back, Michelle got this in sort of this intuitive hit about writing. And she really felt like that was something that was important for her, but she was waiting, as a good generator does, for something to respond to. And then nothing particular came up, even though she and I had a discussion about this, you know, and the possibilities of what she could write about. You know, weeks go by, and then this morning, or yesterday, I guess it was, Michelle, something pops up in her field, and she is again thinking about writing. And then what do I write about, right? So that is the thing that is coming up. So her intuition has been bringing this up, right? So something on the inner planes is bringing this up to her. The next step, because the next step is these planets are all, except Neptune, all be moving off into Aries, is to take action. And the action step is the part where we all get scared, right? Where we all sort of bog down because we might not trust our intuition. We may not trust that information that's coming into us is actually actionable and or should be taken action on. And the best way that I know, and Michelle, you know this because we've had this conversation 100 times, I'm sure, is that you are sacrally defined in your human design. And when we take a look at your chart, we'll talk more about that, which means that in the moment something is presented in your world, it is up to you to say, uh-huh. Or right? You're either pulled toward it or you're pushed back from it. If you're pushed back from it, then you know it's a no. And if you're drawn in to it, it's a yes. It's trusting that, right? So many times we don't trust in our body's wisdom. We are believers of the mind. And in that, we often trust the mind before we actually trust anything else, whether it's our body, our emotions, or our intuition. That's called conditioning. Right? Conditioning. In human design, conditioning is a good thing sometimes, right? It helps us have a framework from which to live our lives, but it can also be on the negative side, the part that holds you back, the part that you believe something is true about you that may not be true about you. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. So it'd be interesting to look at Michelle's chart and see, I think her chart's very much like mine, actually. So Michelle, I can tap in very easily to your chart. She has Cancer on the rise, and that's going to put Pisces and Aries and Taurus somewhere between her 9th house and her 12th house. So the quadrant of the chart that relates to what you do out in the world. Right, your job or profession, your career, your dreams, your hopes, and your aspirations, and also the fears that hold you back from doing exactly what it is that you want to do. So that part of our charts, very empowered right now to lead us out of just the idealism and the ideas and the imagination and the creativity into action, right? And then that action having the impact of changing our lives, transforming our lives. Any comments, questions on that part of our talk about astrology today? It was last year. Oh, yes, it was. Really? Well, last year wasn't all that long ago. It seems like, you know, this year is already flying by, but it is only April, so it could have been in December we had this conversation. But the point is, Michelle and others, is that there's something that's coming up in your lives, and it may be something that's a repeat or a three-peat. It could be something that you've been feeling called to want to do, but you've been reticent to do it or hesitant to take steps on it, and you're now being called to take that step. Maybe not today, this minute, but certainly here very shortly. Now, I want to talk about something else that's huge this week, and I don't know that I would get around to it on any other day this week to really talk about it. But for those of you who were able to attend the April webinar, we talked a lot about this energy of Pluto, the South Node, and Saturn, all three of them in the sign of Capricorn. Let me see if I can draw another little circle here and show you where this is happening. Right here in the chart, in the sign of Capricorn over here, you can see the planet Saturn and Pluto and the South Node. The South Node looks like a U, right? And it is these one point and these two planets that are doing something quite extraordinary in the context of time, in that maybe only a handful of times over the last century have these planets come together. And in fact, only two times in the 20th century, including, you know, this short time that we are in the 21st century, have the three of these pieces come together like this, and never as close as they are right now. In fact, in this month of April, the South Node will conjunct Pluto. In fact, it's in the process right now of conjuncting Pluto. And later in the month, we'll conjunct Saturn. And there is something huge going on here that I wanted to talk about. Because literally, those two planets, Saturn and Pluto, have been responsible for the... Let's just take Pluto first. Pluto has been responsible for a lot of the deep crashes and changes of direction that have been going on in the world since about 2008. So that started with the economic downturn, which turned into one of the longest and deepest recessions since the Great Depression. And we saw that a lot of retail places crashed and burned. And it was very apparent to us out of that how much change there is in terms of our world and the impact of the internet and people able to go on places like Amazon, who, you know, really are becoming a powerhouse or are already a powerhouse in terms of people and their shopping. And that puts pressure on the box stores or on the brick and mortar stores to have to close their doors in a lot of cases because there's not as much foot traffic to sustain the cost of having a store. So we've seen lots of crashes and burns. And if you take a look at your governments and whatever country you're living in, you can see that there have been a lot of changes in the institutions, not altogether positive either, right? Some may be positive, some are definitely like in our faces, right? Where we're seeing all the problems and where we're seeing where things aren't sustainable. And we're kind of left shaking our head going, what is the world coming to? What is our government coming to? What is this country coming to? You know, lots of little questions like that. So all of that has been building, right? Building over the last several years. It got a little more intense about a year and a half ago maybe, when Saturn moved into Capricorn and began pressuring all of us to change our foundations, to look at what was sustainable versus what was not sustainable. I'm giving you background here to what's going on this week. When Saturn moved into Capricorn, we all knew, at least astrologers, we all knew that the jig was up, right? That there was going to be more and more happening to signal to us that things are rotten in Denmark. Not to pick on Denmark, but that saying, things are rotten in Denmark, right? Something smells fishy. There's a problem with transparency. There's a problem with our foundation. There's a problem with the way we're using resources, that how much money we're spending, how much money we're not spending, where are we spending money, where are we not spending money. So much, right? And we knew that that was going to crescendo the closer that Saturn got to Pluto. Well, literally today, Saturn is sitting at 19 degrees, 55 minutes of Capricorn, and Pluto's at 23 minutes or 23 degrees, 2 minutes. They're literally only what is that? 4 degrees from one another. So for all intents and purposes, they're already in a conjunction. We just don't call the conjunction until, you know, they get a little bit closer than that. And they will get closer during this year until they eventually, in January of 2020, actually conjunct one another. So what does it mean now? Let's fast forward right now today to have Pluto and the South Node coming together. So let's take a look at the South Node first of all. You know, I always tell you the South Node in your personal chart is the place of holding on to, right? These are the gifts, the talents, the experiences, your lineages, your ancestry, your past lives, and you're holding them in this cup, if you will, of called the South Node, ready to live your life based on what worked for you in other times. But in this lifetime, you have a North Node, and the North Node is pressuring you to move in a new direction, to take everything in this South Node cup and to pour it out that way, right? To move it in a new direction. To give you an example of this, right now we have the South Node in Capricorn, and the South Node in Capricorn, if we look at the bigger, wider world, support is we have to take a look at corporations and governments, the healthcare system, education system, you name the system, you name the structure, and if it is the old and the traditional, it is cracking and falling apart, right? The chinks in the armor are being exposed in favor of moving to the Cancer North Node, which embodies nurturing energy. And here's where it always, this one thing that I heard Marianne Williamson say always sticks with me. And that is in a conversation she was having about activism and how people should get engaged with their government, or she was specifically speaking about the U.S. government in this case, that our governments need to be run more like a family and less like a corporation. Her point in that, and very profound in the face of the North Node in Cancer, is that when we are treating each other like a family, we're nurturing, we're supporting our weakest links, we are taking care of one another, we are making sure of our survival, but let's change that to being able to thrive in as a community, as a tribe, as a country, as a nation, as a world, as an earth, right? So the old way of being is cracking and breaking apart in favor of this more nurturing and caretaking Cancer energy. Caretaking, but there are always the negative sides of that as well, right? There could be the part of the Cancer North Node that's security oriented. We certainly see that in our country here in the U.S. with the whole immigration issue, right? The growing pains of how do we nurture our own people, but also take care of the people that are trying to come into this country, and how do we make sure that that's done fairly and in a way that is sustainable? So those are all issues, right? Issues. Now, the South Node is about release, about endings, about emptying out. Remember I said we empty the cup and we move it and push it out into a new direction. Good morning, Janice and Rebecca, and it's good to see you. So if you guys have questions about what I'm talking about or comments, please feel free to put those in the chat and I'll take a look at those. So the South Node right now is holding space for us to destroy, to demolish, to crash and burn anything so that we can rebuild, anything not working, anything not sustainable, so that we can rebuild. So it's all about destroying, releasing, breaking down the old. You might as well take your plans, your ambitions, and your all of the things that you think that are going to happen and let them go, right? Release them. Because the South Node is about release. And the purpose here with the South Node is to empty your field, empty your energy in favor of creating that empty space, right? Because when you have empty space, then you can build something worthwhile. You can build something sustainable. So in our world right now, we're burning off anything that isn't correct for us. That might be distractions. It might be superficial stuff. The things that you thought were important that really now you, in retrospect, you look at it and you go, WTF, why did I think that was so important as opposed to this over here, which sustains me, supports me, and makes me feel good. right? So right now, I think a lot of you might be feeling like the hands of fate are directing you in some way, shape, or form. You may feel a little bit like things are out of your control. And guess what? They are. Things are, the big things right now are completely, utterly, totally out of your hands, because what we are going through, and that which will intensify as we move through the year, particularly if you are going kicking and screaming into this process, that we are pruning our closets, our lives, our souls, our lineages, our ancestry, and pruning it. Right? What do you do when you prune a plant? You're snipping off the pieces that are dead, maybe, or the pieces that will not grow in a way that's sustainable. Like, you know, when you prune roses, sometimes you have to take off the wild leaves and things so that it doesn't, you know, shoot out in the wrong direction, that it keeps the plant in its natural beauty. So pruning. So we're, you know, if you think of your life and where you are right now in your life, you're pruning away the things that no longer matter to your life, to your closet, like, you know, literally. It could be in, you know, the littler things, like the things in your closet that you don't need, the things on your desk that you don't need. And then, you know, going up higher toward the soul level, essentially it's the baggage out and the empty space in. It's the empty space that we need, but yet that is what truly frightens us, right? To have that empty space. Our natural, I think, inkling is to fill the void, but you want to be sure that what you're filling that void with over time is going to be sustainable, is going to be able to sustain you, support you, hold you close, and take you where you want to go as we move forward. So what we are then seeing now with the early week here in April, in fact, from March 30th until about April 6th, I think it is, April 5th, we have Pluto conjuncting the North Node, or South Node, excuse me, South Node. And here is this opportunity you have then to get clean, to purify, to purge, right? What isn't sustaining you? What are you holding on to so tightly that, you know, you're in a tug of war, a control issue over with yourself or with spirit, with life in general, right? I want to say the sun this week. Yeah, the sun this week until the fourth. Great. Go figure. Is at the gate of control in your human design chart. So we're already kind of resource oriented and looking at how can we manage and juggle the things that we need versus the things that we have to expend, right? Our energy, our time, our money, our resources in general. So we already have that. The problem comes in when we try to become uberly concentrated in the control aspect. So we need to shift our perspective. That's what this is all about, shifting our perspective to the more spiritual side of things, right? How can we ground our spiritual divine self more fully in the body, grounding it all the way from our feet into the earth itself, and walk with spirit? I wish Elle was here in the morning. Her email address is walking spirit, walking earth spirit, or something like that. And that's the picture I get for this time period, is that when we are walking in our divinity, when we are embodying the divine part of ourselves as much as the physical part of ourselves, then we are walking sort of through our lives and being right where we need to be, letting go exactly what we need to let go of. And the only thing standing in our way of doing that is our own resistance to doing that, right? Our own resistance, because we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have emotions, we have grievances, we have memories, we have cellular memories that we're dealing with. We have all kinds of things sort of stacked up that we can call up in our minds as reasons why we shouldn't change, or as reasons why we should stay holding on to this. And instead, if we just relaxed, you know, just breathe and let go and see how much better you feel, then it frees us up to walk the path toward our North Node and our destiny. And, you know, this is an impactful time, definitely. And it gets, you know, as a drumbeat, it gets a little bit louder as we start moving to July in this year, because we have the eclipses then that are on the Cancer side of this, the North Node eclipses. And it's going to give you that real opening. But if you're bogged down, if you have too much baggage that you're carrying with you, then you will not be free enough to move forward. So be conscious about how you let go, what you let go now. Michelle, oh my God, I'm going to die laughing. Release the Kraken. Release that, right? And maybe the Kraken is really just the part of you within that you've turned into a monster, you know, believing that you can't let this out or let this go, or it's going to do real damage in the world. And if you just let go, then you find that all is well, right? That you can move forward the way that you were meant to move forward. Okay. Diana, good morning. And any questions, any comments about that? So two things now I can leave you with here, and I'm not leaving, but two things as we leave this subject that I can tell you is, one, don't be afraid to let go. Don't be afraid to release. If you find yourself in a stressed position holding on, you know, you feel it because you've got it in your neck and your shoulders, maybe up here, you know, your shoulders are up under your ears, then you're holding on too tight. Relax that and be willing to let it go. Some of us have taken on responsibilities that aren't ours, right? And that's something we might need to let go of as well. And there's all kinds of reasons that we can bring up as to why we can't let go of that responsibility, right? But sometimes it isn't your responsibility. So there's that as well. And so you've got to let go and let God. That's the big news for April, letting go, letting God. Now, later in the month, of course, then the planets begin to change to retrograde motion, Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, all three of them. And that's going to bring these issues back up to you again for looking at, for releasing more. If you don't release now, you have more opportunities when you go the deep dive inward to be able to look at what is it that you're still holding on to. That'll come later in the month. Okay, so I don't see any questions popping up or comments. And Camille says, Cancer here, July 4th. Wow, just like America. A Cancer, we have a couple of Cancers out here. So Cancer, I think even, you know, for you, Camille, then the summer is going to be of import and impact because those eclipses are going to be happening in Cancer. And that is a good news for you as it opens doorways and windows, perhaps to new things. But without looking at your personal chart, I don't know for sure. Okay. So I don't see any questions popping up. So I am going to transition over to looking at a human design chart. And I may pull up more than just Michelle's, but because yesterday I gave you sort of that orientation to your astrology charts, I want to do the same now for your human design charts. Rebecca, great. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. She says, gosh, this is why that spiritual practice is so essential this year. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it spot on. Remember when I did the astrology for 2019 webinar, we talked about Jupiter in a square to Neptune, and we talked about Saturn in a sextile to Neptune. And what that was calling us to was becoming more and more spiritually bound, being, maybe bound isn't the right word, but more and more spiritually aware, grounded in our spirituality. And to build a spiritual practice, to enhance one if you already had it, and to really lean into what part of you that you can't really see, you know, but you can intuit is there. And that was the way for us to move through that time, right? This time. Suzanne, Cancer with Gemini rising and a Libra moon. Definitely lots in flux there for you, all of those signs leading you to new things and change, new things and change, right? So good stuff. Somebody else just said, wow, this makes so much sense. I felt early last year it was time to move to a more nurturing workplace. Yeah, and I would imagine lots of you are feeling things like that. In conversations that I have with people, I hear that people are feeling like they need to move, like relocate to new parts of the world. I've never had as many requests to look at relocation charts as I've had in the past year. And I have heard people saying they need to change their work or their jobs, that they're not happy where they are. And I think a lot of people, that triggers fear, right? It's fear, like of leaving the known, of leaving, you know, your what you've termed as your foundation. And that idea of rebuilding a new foundation is really scary, but it's what is really being supported right now, right? And then if, you know, you're someone who's been in deep resistance to that, then in, let's see, is it next week? Next week, the sun is in the gate of shock. Debbie, why did we decide to go on a cruise during the week of shock? I don't know. What the heck were we thinking? But shock doesn't have to be a bad thing. But next week, the sun is at gate 51, and that is all about initiation into something new. And it usually comes with a shock. Why? Because we're such stubborn entities. We're so stuck sometimes. And it takes a big injection of energy to make us move, to make us change, to make us let go. And in order to move through next week's energy, then you likely are going to want to be able to just say, okay, I hear you, and I'm going to explore this topic more, or I'm going to take the steps I need to take, because that is what is being supported. Linda, can't find human design chart either. I don't know what to tell you, Linda. hopefully you've got it in your email someplace, because I know I sent that to you recently. You could find it again, maybe maybe you deleted it, so you can do a search in your email for something from me, and maybe you've got it there. Rebecca, would you elaborate on the difference between Mars in astrology and human design, please? I can do that. Hold on one second here. Camille says, and I am starting a new venture into a healing field as I transition out of being a realtor. Awesome. Taking your time. Moving one step. Remember, it's one step in front of the other, Camille. I don't remember what your type is, but to answer Rebecca's question, they're pretty much the same. But in human design, we have another aspect of Mars that we look at, and that is the relative, our personal relative immaturity in living our lives the way that we are meant to, in taking action the way that we are meant to. So let me explain here. You know how Mars has that tendency to think first, or to act first, think later? That is coming from an immature place within us, right? We get all excited, or we get impatient, and we don't want to wait. And so we strike out, right? And we do, and then have to find out later maybe that we've got to pull it back. So Mars in your human design chart can show you where you are relatively immature, or where the pathway of maturity of action will be noted. So I hope that helps. Maturity of action. And of course, you have two gates there, right? Everybody does. And we'll look at a chart here in a second, and I'll describe that more. But one side is your soul purpose, while the other is your life purpose. The life purpose Mars is one that is going to show up every day in your life, while your soul really understands the maturity process. So it's kind of interesting to look at it that way. Natasha, yesterday I got the message to have a meditation with my dyslexic part. She has been controlling me quite well with fear of doing things like writing the written word. I asked someone to come and help, and it was Jesus. What a gift listening to him talk with her and helping her move into what I am being called to do. Now for the witness to see how this has helped. Right. So you actually have to take a step and do something, right, Natasha? Okay. Now, I am going to share my screen here. Remember yesterday, my attention looked like I was gone for a minute, and that's because I have to find the right screen and bring that up and then go back. So let's see, is it an application window? It is. And I've got to go back here one moment to Google and put that into the broadcast, make it solo. And then I'm going to go back to this chart. So before I do that, somebody quick tell me if you are seeing Michelle's chart up in the window. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you are not. Now, hopefully you're seeing. Let me go back here to be live. No, you're not seeing it. Why not? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to stop sharing again for a moment. This is what I want on my screen. Now I'm going to share my desktop screen, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be there, and that. Okay. So what you all should be seeing now is a human design chart for Michelle Good. Michelle Gay is what we sometimes see her in here as. For some reason in my astrology program, she was as good. She's a good girl. Okay, I'm going to quick go back. See the comments. Yes, yes, everybody's saying yes, so you're seeing her chart. So let's start by orienting you. Somebody tell me, can you see my mouse moving around or my cursor moving around here? I'm circling the head. Can you see that? Somebody quick give me a yes or no. Oh, Asa saying no chart. Yes, no, yes, no. Oh, shit. Shoot, I mean. Okay. Back off here for a minute. To broadcast, that's the problem. And no sound. I don't need sound. I'm going to put that solo. I know you guys are seeing a black screen for a moment. You know, yesterday this was so easy. Here's what I want to share. There we go. To broadcast. Now, solo, you should be seeing that chart. And hopefully you'll be able to see my cursor moving it around so that I can denote the pieces of this chart. So in human design, you have three distinct parts of the chart. One is the birth part of the chart right here, where all of the information from your birth date is. Here we have the body graph. I'm going to try to make this a little bit smaller, maybe back it out a little bit. And so here is the body graph. And here down in the bottom is the part that we get all of the juicy tidbits about who you are. It's called the overview. It tells you your type, what your conditioning theme is, your strategy, your profile, your right angle cross or left angle cross, your destiny type, and definition and inner authority. And let's start up here then with these two pieces of information. So the birth chart is set up in two columns. One you see is based on the birth date, birth time, and it is in black. It is called the personality. It is also the conscious line description of who you are. We call the everything on this side of the birth chart the soul purpose. So these are gates right here. Each one of these numbers represents a gate. And a gate is here in the body graph. So if we look at the sun, this is the symbol for the sun right here. Her sun sits at gate 29 and up in the third line. Don't get bogged down in what these things mean, right? This is a deep study. Again, just like astrology. So it just gives me more detail about where her sun is located. And the gate 29 sits right here on the sacral, and it's kind of hard to see because it's colored in red because she has it defined. Let's see if I can make this part a little bit bigger. Here's the gate 29 on the sacral right here. And the gate 29 is the sun. And you can see for her, it creates a whole channel. She must have the gate 46 somewhere in her chart. So everybody has the centers aligned just like this, right? They're all in the same place, right? The head is in the head and the ajna is in the ajna, the throat. All of these look the same. The gates are all in the same place in everybody's human design. What's different is what is defined versus what is open. And now let's go back to this for a moment. The design side of this birth chart is based on a date that is about 88 astrological degrees prior to her birth, or about 90 days prior to birth. And in fact, in her case, it's looking like it was exactly 90 days. And we say this is the date in human design that your soul became embodied, like your life purpose crystal became defined, because everything in this red column represents your life purpose. The traits represented here by your soul purpose are probably more visible to you, that you know more about them in your own self. The gates over on this side are part of your discovery and the unveiling of your life purpose as you move through your life. All right. I hope that makes sense, right? So you have two columns. Running down the center of the column are symbols that represents the planets used in human design. So I'm going to list those. And if you want, you can just kind of write them in a line so that when you look at your own human design chart, you can just translate that information over. The first one here, this is the symbol for the sun. The second one is the symbol for Earth. Then, of course, we have the moon. We have the upside down horseshoe, which is the north node. I also call this piece destiny often. So north node and destiny. Then we have the south node, which I often call karma. So we have south node and karma. Then we have Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Now, I want you to note in some cases, like note her sun and Earth are all at different gates, right? They would always be at different gates. They move too quickly to be at the same gates. But note as you get down to some of the planets that are further out, like her planet Jupiter right here. Oh, that's not good. Jupiter is at the same gate, while her Saturn is at different gates. Her Uranus is at the same gate. Her Neptunes are at the same gate, and Pluto at the same gate. So now when we look at the chart, how that shows up is in these striped areas where you see the stripes. That tells you there are more than one planet sitting there and that they are from both the design and the personality. So for example, this is gate 35 right here. And she has, well, in her case, she's got the south node at gate 35 in the soul purpose side. And she has Mercury at 35 on the life purpose side. So I've never noticed this before for you, Michelle, but right here is why it is that you feel like you want to communicate and write. And the reason why you can't determine exactly what it is you want to write about is because you're a Jill of all trades. There are any number of things you can write about: childcare, preschool, nails, beauty, all of losing weight, taking care of your body. So you are really a very much a Jill of all trades, but you are definitely seemingly tapping into this Mercury that wants to explore topics of in a communications setup. So that's interesting, whether that's through video, whether that's through a blog or writing stories, writing a book, I don't know. That's yours to figure out. But it would seem that you have any number of topics that you can draw on: health, beauty, wellness, children, etc. So that should give you moments of thought here this morning. Now, when you see these gates in your human design body graph, note, sometimes you see them like this one here in the head here. These are all hanging gates. It means that there's a planet at one end, but not one at the other. So there's no connection, right? It's hanging. As opposed to a channel like this, where there's a planet at one end and another planet at the other end, and they come together and they join up energies, right? So she's got two channels here that are completed. In this case, they're completed by planets that are on the personality consciousness side or the soul purpose side. And on this gate or this channel, Half of it is coming from the personality side, and the other half is coming from the design side. Either way, the channel is completed, the expression of that might be different. And then note all of these other places where she has these hanging gates. Now, we all have hanging gates and we all have channels, unless you're a reflector like Debbie Hedden, in which case you only have centers with hanging gates because you don't have any planets at the other end to come together. So these hanging gates are the places that create some real juiciness in your life because they're going to get completed either by other people in your world, parents, your children, your spouse, your friends, other people when you're out and about in the world. You might be at the park or in the mall and or the grocery store, and all these people around you are making these things like trigger and fire off, right? We call it a magnetic attraction, right? It's quantum physics here, right? Where one end is open and it attracts to it someone or somebody, someone else's energy to it that completes that channel. When that happens, you usually know it, right? Have you ever had an experience with someone where you were absolutely repelled by them, or an experience where they just drew you in? You would know somewhere in your human design you're being called together, or in some way there is something for you to look at because that connection is happening, right? And that connection is happening most likely through your the open ends of your hanging gates. Now, at other times, planets transit through these areas and add their dimension to what's going on in your body graph. So for Michelle, for example, let's see, where's the sun today? The sun is sitting at the gate 21. She does not have gate 21 defined normally. So today with the sun here, the sun is actually lighting up this part of her chart. I wonder if I can highlight this. No, it's not going to let me do it. Fine. But we can just imagine then, okay, turn the highlighter off. We can imagine then that gate 21 is filling in here, and it's filling in from the personality side, and it means that she suddenly has this whole gate or channel, excuse me, filled in. And it's the channel, it's called the money line. This is the channel of money, right? So maybe paychecks coming in this week, maybe having to budget, maybe concerns about how do I pay this or how do I pay that? Or maybe there's extra money because you've managed your money well. The gate 21 end is the part that we manage our resources. The gate 45 is where we spend our resources. You are naturally inclined to spend, but not always having as much income as you need to spend on what you want to spend. And we've had that conversation before. Okay, so now in the body graph, you see these nine centers. Each one of these centers has a meaning. And I want you to get a piece of paper out, or if you've got your human design chart in front of you, you can just make some notes here. The top center here is called the head center. The head center, note, it is the only center that is not contained right all the way within the body graph. It is traversing the part of spirit up here and also in the body. So here is our interface, if you will, with God or spirit or whatever, cosmic mind, source, right? So the head center acts as almost an antenna to receive divine inspiration. And so the head center is the center for ideas and inspiration. Make sense? And I can't tell because I can't see my other screen. But I'm going to assume you understand this, and I'll go back in a minute and look for questions or comments. So head center, center for inspiration and ideas. The second center down is called the Ajna, A-J-N-A. It is the center that we think of as the mind. So everything here in this center is about awareness. It is not a motor. It has no expression to the to source. It is literally your mind. It is self-contained, right? It has channels only up to the head center or the inspiration center, and channels down to the throat. The channels to the head center are where we take in those ideas and inspiration in the head. It moves into our mind and we decide what we're going to do with that based on the mind. I'm not saying that you should decide from the mind, but that's what we attempt to do, right? We take that information in, it then moves into the mind, and then we, with our mental awareness, decide what it is we are going to do, unless, of course, you know your human design and you do it differently. The other points here go down to the throat center, and this is where we are speaking to what we know, right? Speaking to what we know. Note in Michelle's chart here, she has all three of these channels open and they are not defined. And an open center, an open gate, or an open channel can be places where we misidentify our energy. We overly identify or get conditioned by what people around us are doing. So for example, in Michelle's life, if she has someone with a defined ajna, she is automatically tapping into the stream of thought of that person. So let's say, for example, and I don't remember, Michelle, your parents, but I'm going to just say, let's say her dad has a defined ajna. So she's growing up in an atmosphere with a man, a father figure, an authority figure, who has a very defined way of thinking. And she's tapping into his defined way of thinking the whole time she's growing up, the whole time she's in his sphere of influence, even though it isn't her natural way of thinking. She is much more open-minded than that. And that can already cause issues between her and the father figure, right? So, and it could be the same with other people in her life, a daughter, a friend, an obscure relative that has a defined ajna. If they've had influence on Michelle, then she may be thinking like them. And what she'll have to learn then in her human design is how to tease out her own thoughts from the thoughts of those people around her. Okay. The third center down is called the throat center. It is the center for manifestation and communication. All of the energy in the chart, all of it, from the head and the ajna to the all of the centers down here, we want to get the energy from down here up to the throat or from up here down to the throat. And that's because we are meant to manifest and to communicate with one another. And so the throat center acts sort of like the gearbox, sending off energy and things to all the different other parts of your human design. The throat becomes a very serious place then when we need to know what is the condition of your throat, because an open throat, such as Michelle's here, which has a lot of energy on it, she's got four hanging gates hanging off of her throat, can make her very quick to speak when she is meant to be waiting to be invited to speak. So, and I, you know, we could spend a whole hour just talking about the throat center. And holy cow, it's almost 9 o'clock. So let's finish these. The diamond here in the middle is the identity center. It is the seat of the soul, right? This is the seat where your soul lives. This is your compass, right? This center here is called the will center. It is also called the heart center. And note that the gate of shock, gate 51, sits on this center. And it's a shock that's meant to initiate us to bring these two centers back together, back to oneness, back to unity. So we sort of have this split that occurred long about the Renaissance as we moved out of the Dark Ages and we, you know, science and art exploded into the world in inventions. And then eventually the Industrial Revolution, we became more and more individualized. And as these two centers split apart, and the challenge then for us as humans is to find ways to bring those two parts of ourselves back together, our soul and our egos. This is the seat of the ego. Here we have the emotional solar plexus. It is all about emotions, baby. Feelings and emotions right here in this center. And with an open center like Michelle has, that means she's absorbing the energy from around her and takes it in, tends to amplify it, and then rebroadcasts that energy. And here's where mistaken motivation occurs, right? Because she's open here, that makes her extremely empathic, and she's picking up the emotional energy from around her, the world, the collective, her daughter, her mothers, her whoever, right? And if you take that energy in and you amplify it and rebroadcast it, it comes off as not your own. And it can be a real problem. So we need to learn how to monitor our open centers, these white centers, so that we are always able to express our correct authority and our correct authenticity to the world. This center is the sacral. It is the center for action. It is where we get things done. It's the center for life force energy, vitality. And when it's red like this, you are either a manifesting generator or a generator. If it is white in your chart, you are a projector, a manifester, or a reflector. And you have to treat this with kid gloves if this is open, because you can blow out your energy very quickly. And when you have it defined, you also must watch out, because you have that sustainable energy that you could have focused off into the wrong direction. And you need to learn what is the right direction for you. The center over here is the spleen center, definitely not anatomically correct, but this is the center for health, intuition, and time. Everything in this center happens in the moment. Everything in the emotional center happens with clarity over time. So both of these centers have something to do with time. This one is much quicker. This one is much slower. This one is spontaneity. This one is not spontaneous. And so we always have to look at that in a chart. And this is also the center here that we think of all of these gates double as fear gates, because this center ultimately is about survival. And evolutionarily, this one is passing away. Its influence is lessening, while this one over here is increasing. And then finally, we have the root center, and the root center is what grounds us to Mother Earth, to terra firma. It is the center where the impulse begins for life, and that impulse to life begins in joy and imagination and creativity. So that is an interesting center in and of itself. This center, and ego center, and the emotional center, these four are called motors. They have energy to them. They do something. And so you need to know that about yourself. And because we're getting close to the end of my time here with all of you, this we will talk about more tomorrow. But here's where all the juicy tidbits are, right? This is where you know, you find out what your type is and your profile and your definition and inner authority. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and be able to explain a little more about what those terms mean. Because I know sometimes people get scared when they see words like frustration or bitterness or disappointment, like, you know, it's they're doomed to have that. All right. Let's see comments real quickly before I leave here. Vicky, my husband and I have five hanging gates that match up. So you are drawn together. So these places, Vicky, either become places where the energy is flowing smoothly between the two of you, or maybe they're the source of some irritation and some challenging energies between the two of you. So we want to really look at that and, you know, kind of take that apart and see what it is, right? What's the gate? What's the center? And what planet is it that's sitting there that's drawing you together? Camille, write about not knowing how to start this adventure in writing. You will find the flow will begin. That's for you, Michelle. I think that's awesome. Patricia, can you explain what life must be like being a reflector? Yes, I can, sort of. So a reflector is someone whose centers are all open. A reflector is someone who sees themselves in the people around them, knows their truth by what the people around them are reflecting to them. We all should have reflectors in our lives so they can show us our relative health and our relative evolution. And people who are reflectors are often, first of all, let's go back to science for a minute. Have you ever heard of an indicator species? Like frogs, they are indicator species. When you have a healthy frog population, because they live in the interface between the water and the land, you know if you have healthy frogs, you have healthy water and healthy environment. If you have frogs dying, or you have very few frogs where you should have plenty, then you know the environment isn't so healthy. That's an indicator species. Well, reflectors are sort of the indicator species among us. They reflect back to us as individuals the relative health of our groups, of our tribe, of our communities, and our families. And then we can take steps to enhance the healing of that community or tribe or whatever. But for reflectors themselves, all of life is being taken in by them. They're taking in everything, right? All those centers, right? Open centers, they absorb the energy from around them. They tend to amplify it and rebroadcast it. So reflectors can have a tendency to be doing a lot of the wrong things in their life because they're missing the true path ahead of them. Likewise, their centers are often turned on and turned off by the travels of the moon, because the moon moves quickly, right, through 2 to 3 gates a day. And so throughout the day, they can come through many different moods and have access to many different energies. So a true reflector has to wait about 28 days in making any major decisions, because they have to wade through all of that energy before they can get to the truth for them. It's a slower process for them, but they reflect love. They reflect life. They reflect joy. And if they're not reflecting that to you, then there's an issue going on in the environment, right? If you have an ill reflector, or if you are a reflector and you're sick, or you're angry and upset, then you might be surrounding yourself by the wrong people, or you're in the wrong environment, right? Because you're always reflecting the relative health through how you feel and how you're showing up in the world. I hope that helps. All right. Michelle, have no idea how to start. Yes, I want to blog about our adventures and things. Just start. Okay. okay. So I think that's it for me today. Linda, always expressed by the range of your knowledge. Maybe impressed. Expressed? I don't know. Anyway. Thank you all so much. Tomorrow we'll go into the third part of your birth chart, and maybe we'll take somebody else's chart tomorrow. Debbie Hedden, I'm sorry we didn't get to your reflector chart. Maybe we'll look at your reflector chart tomorrow. Okay. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. East Coast time. Bye for now. Mwah. Have a great day.